Hello and welcome to Connectivity 212. I'm your host Nicholas Bray, and today we see the return of the Themesters segment that we do. And once again, I am joined by Perry Burkham.
Hello, everyone.
And on this episode of Themesters, we are also joined by Greg Leahy.
Hello there. Pleased to be with you.
Hello. Right, so today on Themesters, we're going to be looking at some of the music of Yoshi's Island from the Super Nintendo. You know, we have Greg on here, so we have to do Yoshi pretty much, so...
Yep, it's a rule.
It's
a rule. Yep. So, so Perry, how did you want to kick things off this time?
Yeah, so we are recording this on a fun night tonight, and we are going to be talking about songs from Yoshi's Island, and we all went to a concert, you see, and the symphonic concert, and bought the CD afterwards, and it was a fun time, and we went to go see the Shy Guy Orchestra, and actually, if you look down on your device right now, you can see a picture of it. We got. So I didn't get it autographed, though. There's just too many people. But so we're gonna listen to the four covers that they had arranged, and then talk about, also listen to some original soundtrack music from the game, and talk about it, and just have a jolly good time talking about Yoshi's Island from the good old SNES. So we are going to just go right into it and listen to the first song. And so, enjoy. Thank you. All right, and that was the Yoshi's Island Music Box theme. And Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, so that kind of opens the gate. You know, it's the first thing you'll hear when you stick the cart in. Back in those days, and you get the curious, like, pre-rendered graphic intro alongside it, which, you know, is like their sort of concession to the popularity of DKC, while the rest of the game kind of shoved two fingers up to it. weirdness, but mm-hmm. You know, I always like the music box kind of theme that kicks in with it, and it, you know, in the game, obviously it kind of like slows down, like the music box has run out of energy, you know, at mm-hmm. some point. But you know, I think the guitar is a really good match for that melody and for Yoshi in general. It's something they've kind of come to years later with the Yoshi series. Like, Yoshi's Island was a Koji Kondo soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Latterly, it's been more Totoka that's been responsible for Yoshi games, generally that you know, kind of either developed internally or overseen by Nintendo, who is famous for like that, yeah, the Totoka song that he hides mm-hmm. in most of the games he does, and he's kind of the inspiration for KK Slider and stuff. So he did Yoshi's Story and stuff, and Yoshi's Story, there's a tower level sort of where it's made out of wood that has a, you know, acoustic guitar sort of rendition of the Yoshi Story theme. And then, like, Yoshi's Woolly World's got tons of acoustic guitar in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the first thing you hear. A lot of the levels have it. So it's kind of something that latterly has become kind of a bit synonymous with Yoshi soundtracks. But, you know, going back and sort of putting it right into the first song of the first Yoshi game like this is kind of a cool little, you know, kind of time warp trick, but it also just fits really nicely with the melody as well.
Mm. Right. I only really remember the and then I hit start and then I play the game. So I
yeah, oh yeah, that's true. It's like, I watched that pre-rendered intro once and then, yeah, after that, yep.
It was fun to get a chance to listen and really hear this song, like I was just saying, because I didn't really hear it before, and it's such a moody song that, I mean, it is almost like a lullaby, like the kind of fitting in with the babies and storks and, right, I'm like kind of like that Yoshi story and everything. So I really enjoy listening to the theme in it and how it really starts you off on the good foot for the rest of the game, and just a gentle start, which the game kind of has, but it doesn't really set you up for the vast amount of baby crying in between all the songs that you hear.
No, but you could imagine using that to quiet the baby crying, perhaps.
exactly. Yeah.
Especially this cover version of it as well is very sort of low key and delicate sounding, almost went to sleep listening to it.
Yeah, I know. It's like it has the rubato. I don't know. Do you guys know what rubato is in music?
No, I've said it many times on radio trivia before. I'm a musical idiot. I know virtually nothing about musical theory and terminology.
Oh sure. Well, it's kind of taking the beat at your own. Like, instead of playing a dun 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 dun, you'd play it dun, 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 you know, just kind of morphing the beat around and kind of playing and slowing down,
so
and speeding
more
up.
It's more loose, really. Yeah.
Loose. There you go. Mm. There you go, yeah. So, yeah, that I like the aesthetic of that song. So, yeah, so what we're going to do now is listen to a song from the game. This is not a cover. It is the Yoshi Start demo. So this is kind of the first thing you hear also when you kind of get into the game. So let's listen to it right now. We'll be right back. So when I listen to this song, it reminds me of Super Mario 64, and then it transforms into Link to the Past. I don't know if anyone else gets
The scene, some of the synth there sounds a bit like stuff from The Link to the Past. Just like a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, it's the thing about this particular bit of music is that this is just plays over this tiny little sort of in-game graphics this time. Cinema kind of thing. And then like when you kind of going into this little training area and stuff. So you only ever see that once unless you start a new file. And whereas, like, I would hear the start of the music box theme over and over again when I'm turning the cartridge on. And then I saw the other levels in the game I played through goodness knows how many times trying to find everything back in the day. You know, no internet, really, for FAQs. I was playing in Japanese. It was all of it very much an adventure to try and kind of find all this stuff. So I heard most of the music dozens and dozens of times over a long period of time. But that particular song, that is Christmas Day, 1995. That's what it will always be to me. Because I didn't hear it again for a very long time, probably until I replayed the game years later. And it'll always evoke that for me. It's got this great sense of sort of anticipation building as well, in its sort of gentle Yoshi way. But like it's perfect. I really like that. It's just kind of, it's funny, with Yoshi games, obviously, especially with the whole baby kind of themes and stuff and the aesthetic, it's like they're gonna try and be cute with the music. The music is gonna try and reinforce the sort of cute childish kind of nature of it all, but there's a proper balance to be struck with that I think Yoshi's Island generally gets pretty right, that latter Yoshi games have kind of not quite got as right. Yoshi's Story probably falls on the wrong side of that line more often. Something like Yoshi's New Island falls on the wrong side of it pretty hard at times.
I just played through Yoshi DS, Yoshi's Island DS.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the things that I was just like, this music, it's nice, but it's just nowhere close to the original. There's just so much missing.
One of the weird things that happened to Yoshi as well is that, unlike Super Mario World, this Koji Kondo soundtrack had a lot of different sort of themes in it, whereas, of course, Super Mario World was built around one central motif that was just heavily rearranged into castle themes and ghost houses and all the rest of it, But this has got a bunch of different stuff in it, quite a bit of range, but then Yoshi's Story, Yoshi's Island DS, Yoshi's New Island, they just do the Super Mario World thing for some reason. Like I never really got why that became like a Yoshi trademark to just remix the same melody over and over again when that was when Yoshi's Island was not like that. But I just think, with the Yoshi's Island soundtrack, it's got this, it's got the appropriately kind of playful and whimsical and fun sound to it. It's got these kind of childish elements in it as well, but it's just, it doesn't get to the point of being like twee or irritating. It's got enough actual kind of, the other kind of range of emotions that it can evoke. Sometimes it is somewhat threatening, or that sense of anticipation I talked about with this song. It's got enough range that it doesn't get grating, and I think that's one thing I would say is also true of Woolly World, which is a big soundtrack, lots and lots of different material there. I feel like that's the closest that anyone's got to getting the same kind of feel with a soundtrack for a Yoshi game.
Kind of has like the Woolly World kind of has like a country feel to it too. It's pretty sweet. Nick, I was thinking we could talk about like your history with this game.
Well, my history is pretty short with this game, really, because I obviously didn't play it back when it came out. I didn't have a Super Nintendo. I picked one up secondhand in like the early 2000s, but I never had Yoshi's Island. So whatever I've pl- I did play it back, you know, in the early 2000s, but that was over like an emulator. You know, I do have it on the 3DS Ambassador Program thing, like the GBA version, but whenever I boot that up, I just sort of get disheartened at how it looks and sort of not play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a respectable conversion given the hardware limitations, but, you know, it's not the full fat version. You know, it's not the same.
It might be a little better on an actual GBA, though, as well. The 3DS versions.
Yeah, that's a decent point.
The best either.
You could get it on the Wii U, like, you know, if you actually pay for it. The GBA emulation on Wii U is pretty good, obviously, for that sort of thing, you know. But, you know, like, obviously you've got the resolution problem, which is, you know, common with Super Nintendo to GBA conversions. But, yeah, the soundtrack is not, the sound quality is not as good. And then you can't really do all of the sort of Super FX kind of tricks the same way and all that. So it's kind of a shame that that's become the version of record, essentially. But we all know there's
strange to me that they don't put it out, like the original one out, or even like report it to something.
Yeah, I think the reported thing's a decent point, because it's like we all can surmise that there's something up with Super FX. We don't know exactly what it is, that you know, whether it's like a rights issue or an emulation issue, whatever it is, that those games are not just going to be emulated the way that other Super Nintendo games have been. But, you know, actually sort of going back from scratch, you know, like you put M2 on it or something, get them to just rebuild
get
it
M2
from
to
the
do
ground.
It. 3D Yoshi's Island.
No, I mean, it'd be great, you know, like just really lovingly kind of recreate it, so it's not just like a, you know, a sort of an emulation or anything. It's actually kind of a ground up, like redone port and all that. That would be nice, because at the moment what we've got is a somewhat pay limitation of the real deal for those who have never played the original car.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I would just love to play like an HD perfect pixel version of this game. I mean, I really enjoy it. Like if it was on the new 3DS, that emulation,
yeah,
I'd love to see it on there.
No, that would look really nice.
Yeah, like I played the Donkey Kong Country games, and those, you know, even those visuals don't look that, you know, they haven't aged well, but the emulation is so good. It looks really good, Exactly, it's that Game Boy Advance version, and it's just funny on the Wii U having to get the Game Boy Advance port of Yoshi's Island. So, Super Mario World 10 or whatever it is, or Super Mario Advance 5.
Oh, and of course, on the sound point as well, you know, the differences in that, not only is like, you know, because the GBA didn't have kind of its own dedicated sound processor the way the Super Nintendo did with the Sony chip in there and everything, but you also have the whole thing of bringing in Yoshi's voice from latter games.
Specifically
Totoka, who actually is the voice of Yoshi, who composed the music for Yoshi's Story. Yeah, like that became a thing with the Advance games. It's like, let's bring the voice samples from the N64 era into the old game. So it kind of, that's more obtrusive over the top of the music as well. So I'm not one of these people that absolutely hates Yoshi's voice. I'm okay with it. Although, like, the old sort of weird Super Nintendo sound effects are kind of, you know, what I grew up with, so I like those. But, you know, they definitely don't, like, mask the music as much. So in that sense, it's a win.
Yeah, like, you definitely don't want to hear Yoshi, like, talking in a conversation. That might be kind of weird.
It would be like those conversations that Pokemon have between themselves in the anime, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, which are actually hilarious. But
true, there's potential there, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, we're going to move on and listen to the next cover. This was Nick's idea. And Nick, explain why you wanted to listen to this.
So this is the above ground theme, but it does morph into the touch fuzzy get dizzy, you know, scenario in the game. So where the music goes all wonky and changes and sort of all kind of crazy. The original pitch to was basically to sort of ape like I Am the Walrus or something, just to make like a really crazy sound. So that's what this next song is.
All right, well, let's listen to it and discuss after.
All right, so that was the above ground theme with a touch fuzzy get dizzy bit at the end there, where it goes all weird and wonderful.
Wonky,
yeah. It's always pretty funny in the game. And going back to just our previous conversation with the GBA version, I think they altered that in the Game Boy Advance version somehow, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as smooth, basically. It can't do the... Obviously, for those who aren't intimately familiar with this, although it's quite a famous aspect of the game, there's these parts where Yoshi is sort of beset with these fuzzy sort of cloud-looking things, and if he touches them at all, psychedelic stuff happens, basically, and the entire it was one of those kind of, it's the kind of thing that would happen like early in the Super Nintendo's life, like the spinning rooms in Castlevania for no particular reason, but so obviously this was kind of another level of it because you had the Super FX2 chip that could do sort of sprite manipulations that the Super Nintendo could not do natively, and so the whole world's just warping and Yoshi becomes like drunk, essentially. Yep. the dizzy's kind of a euphemism, he can't walk straight, he's kind of swaying back and forth, the entire world is just sort of going in waves, and
they
the colours
change and
all that.
Brought this back, the effect back in Super Mario Maker as well, or similar sort of idea.
One
of the sound effects is basically makes the whole screen go all wonky and warpy and stuff, so it's a similar sort
but
of thing.
But I think... the difference, the main thing I remember about the GBA is just that it cut when the ground's like, you know, sort of warping into these waves, like, you know, it's nowhere near smooth, it's kind of discontinuous. So it's just not as psychedelic, basically. It's kind of a weak source version of the same effect. I mean, you get the idea, but it's just, just not the same.
You don't really feel like you're on drugs. You just get the idea that you're on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, with my youth playing these games in Japanese, I always wonder, like, is there an explanation for this on, like, the text somewhere or something, the manual? I don't, you know, like, maybe, I'm guessing there wasn't. It's just some weird, like, I mean, it was really just about them showing off the game, you know, what they could do in the game. Like, that's the real explanation, but why it was quite in this form is kind of odd. But, you know, I think it worked really well with the child's drawing kind of aesthetic of the game, though. There was something kind of... yeah, the sort of surreal element to it in the first place that kind of, although I guess that's where it kind of makes it feel even more subversive when you sort of introduce the idea of some sort of, you know, psychoactive drugs or whatever.
You know, Yoshi, psychedelic drugs, you know, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, that part of it's kind of weird. But of course, yeah, it does affect the music as well, as was, you know, sort of... recreated in the cover version there, where it just sort of the tempo becomes all kind of slurry and, you know, it's so as wonky as the visuals become. I remember there was a cover, I used to listen to a lot of OC Remix stuff, and there was a cover of the Super Mario Brothers Overground theme, which is, this is kind of, you know, the similar sort of fare, I guess, you know, the Overground, you know, going through the standard kind of environment. Quite the upbeat kind of theme, where it was almost like an entire cover in a touch fuzzy get dizzy kind of vein called Mario Likes Thorazine, and it's I can't remember who did it, but it's kind of a strings version of the Super Mario Brothers theme, which is kind of constantly like changing the tempo and these sort of drifting strings and some dissonant elements. It's a really different take on that song. It has like occasional lucid moments where it actually sounds like the Super Mario Brothers theme, and then it kind of slips back. It's a lot of fun, that, if anyone will look that up.
Mm-hmm. And what was that called again?
Mario Likes Thorazine, if I remember correctly.
Jeez. Probably still on there. It's probably still on the remix.
It was probably a decade or more ago, but there's a lot of great stuff, you know, from that era that I remember pretty well.
So this would be a good moment to say that if you want to listen to these songs, like, kind of outside of the podcast, you can go to Themester or SoundCloud.com/Themesters Podcast, and I have all of the songs up there. And the funny thing, I just put them up there, and I went back, and a lot of people like listening to Earthbound music. which is
the Earthbound covers are really good. Yeah, I like those ones as well.
I second that. And great original source material, of course, but great arrangements too.
Oh yeah, those originals, that's an amazing. But yeah, just want to throw that out there. Also, if you wanted to go back and listen to this song, Greg, what are the tall and skinny? Is it thief? Are they thieves? Are they, what are they called? The shy guys. They're like jerks.
Yeah. Again, unfortunately, the names I'm not so good with because I played in Japanese when I was a kid. But I think I know who you're on about. The sort of the masked guy that steals baby Mario off your back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That guy. So during the concert, if you listen to the song again, he starts playing his French horn, and that's when he gets hit with the fuzzy, and then everything just. Everything just went up in flames. Then the crowd thought that was just so funny. So go ahead and listen to that again.
Oh, it's Bandit, I think. It's Bandit.
Bandit.
There you go.
I thought it was Thief. There you go, Bandit.
It's you got me there, basically.
Greg's a fraud. He really doesn't like Yoshi at all.
who doesn't like Yoshi?
Greg, obviously, because he didn't know piece of trivia.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of surprised you
didn't. My Japanese skills weren't too hot back in the day. That was something I found out latterly.
I thought you were going to tell me, like, the inspiration behind Bandit and, like, when they thought of it and what the original colors were and stuff. But that's okay. You didn't even know its name. That's fine. We're going to listen to another original soundtrack song, and this is one of Greg's picks. It's the Castle and Fortress theme. And I don't know if you want to say anything about it now, or should we just play it?
Yeah, we'll play it. I could come out on the other side.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah, so, you know, with that last song, I think it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of there's a certain amount of range with the soundtrack here. It's still playful, obviously, you know, within the sort of Yoshi's Island world, but, it's, you know, it's got a bit more sort of atmosphere to it, you know, somewhat ominous kind of feel.
The start of it struck me as, like, sort of deserty sounding, like the little intro bit.
The percussion.
At the start there.
Yeah,
and
the
then
percussion
it moved
kind
into
of
that. Like, that. Sounded to me like it came from the Song of Storms, the Ocarina of Time.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Koji Kondo. I think. Yeah. That I think you pretty much blame him for that. Presumably.
Yeah. He's reused it for Ocarina.
He went back to that well with the Song of Storms. If you'll forgive the somewhat pun of that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the funny thing about this, I feel like actually they tried to kind of recreate this in Yoshi's Story, Totoka with Yoshi's Story. like I said, Yoshi's Story, you have the same theme, just rejiggered a whole bunch of different ways, including some sort of weird hip-hop thing with Yoshi. Like, whatever that was. But the actual, the Baby Bowser castles at the end do have a different motif, and it's very Nutcracker, actually, in that case. Mm. But it, clearly, I think it got there, you know, thinking about this particular song. It's going for the same thing, but I don't think it does it quite as well. Like I said, I think it gets a bit too close to Nutcracker, and it isn't as atmospheric, and I guess that kind of maybe just goes to the, like I said, the difference between Yoshi's Island and Yoshi's Story, which is that Yoshi's Story is just more overtly puerile, if you will, and you know, kind of... it lacks that extra bit of sort of ambience that I think this has got.
Yeah, there's like two sections kind of to the song, and I feel like that there's a Song of Storm sections, and then like the second section is, it sounds like kind of like a ghost house or just kind of like a Super Mario World, you know, dungeon or a castle. And so I feel like just like you said, like Yoshi's Island had that. It had a lot of inspiration from Super Mario World in it. It being a sequel. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was marketed as a sequel in the West, whereas it wasn't marketed as such in Japan. But clearly it was something of a successor, and you had a lot of the same creative leads in their respective roles. So,
exactly.
It's undeniable, the lineage.
And then I feel like it just kind of like branched off and kind of just, you know, broke away from that mold with the subsequent, you know, releases and stuff.
Yeah, very much. They tried to distinguish it more. As I said many times, Yoshi's Story is kind of trying to do a 3D platformer in 2D, which is odd,
an odd choice. Weird.
But that's what they were. They were trying to sort of take it off more in its own sort of direction, and Woolly World, subsequently they've tried to hew back to Yoshi's Island, both the DS and 3DS games are sort of criticised for being too similar to it, and Woolly World to some extent as well, although it does have its own kind of aesthetic to distinguish it somewhat. They kind of tried to make it more different, and then since have been trying to recapture the magic. So it's a weird sort of push and pull.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to go right into the next cover. This one was my pick, and it's the Flower Garden theme, which to me, when I think of Yoshi's Island, I think of this song. That's just what I think of, and it's like one of my favorite songs ever. I just love the melody. So, let's go ahead and listen to it right now. Thank you. right, that was Flower Garden. I think that's the first level, right? That must be the first level.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
When I got this game when I was little, I guess my brothers had a Super Nintendo, and none of us were really into video games, and like really, it was just kind of like we had one, and somehow I got a hold of this game, and I remember playing it, and you know, I didn't really have any knowledge of video games before coming out. Like, obviously, I wasn't into, like, I don't think there was anything on the internet for this game, or magazines even. Like, I didn't have Nintendo Power, nothing, you know, no one knew anything about it. So none of my friends were into video games, really. So just playing this game, I think it really kind of helped me with kind of, you know, like developing, like, my love for this game. Because I just think when you're, you guys, out of all people, know, like, being in the media, you know, like, being up to date on everything, and how you kind of have already developed a feel for the game before you even get to play it. So I didn't have that at all with this game, and I really liked having that, and really the pastel colors and the, you know, like the crayons and the sound effects, and then especially the music, really developed a lot of nostalgia for this game over the years. I don't think I ever beat it when I was little, but you know, I remember it very fondly. So when I would always start over again. So I always know, you know, this level, this music is, this piece is my favorite, just because it just brings me back. So I don't know if the same for you guys, if you have like the same feeling towards the first level music, you know.
Again, there's an association with the Christmas Day thing for me, but because I ended up hearing it in so many other kind of contexts because of going revisiting, then it kind of dilutes that, unlike the actual intro cutscene that we played. But you know, it still kind of hits those sort of memories a bit, and I do really like the xylophone sort of sound for this song. It's pretty much perfect, I think.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's kind of islandy, you know.
Yeah, it's got the kind of evokes a sense of place, but also has that kind of playful, cute kind of sound that you're looking for this kind of game, you know, with the art style and the main character and everything. It's just exactly, you know, the way it should be.
It does sort of, this cover at least, it did remind me of, like, you know, you could probably play this over the top of, like, babies learning to walk and stuff, and it'd probably fit right in, you know? Like, it just has that sort of slightly clumsy feel to it, to me.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. I can totally see that. yeah, so that was Flower Garden. We're going to move on to another OST song. This was Nick's pick. It was the bonus game song. So is this after every, or how do you get to the bonus game?
Well, it depends on collecting flowers, first of all. You remember, this is something that's come back in a lot of Yoshi games, where there might be 5 flowers to find. And each one you find becomes a point on, like, this sort of roulette at the goal of the level. Mm-hmm. And then when you pass through the goal circle, you know, it depends what it hits, and obviously the more flowers you've collected, the more of them there is for it to hit, and if it hits a flower, you go through to the bonus game where you can earn extra lives.
Well, there you go then. Let's listen to it right now. Thank you. All right, so I think we all know what they're going for here. Definitely like a carnival, right? A carnival game.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the, there's different ones, but, like, some of them are very literally like that. You kind of, you know, sort of hit targets with Yoshi's, the same sort of crosshair that you have in the main game, throwing eggs and stuff, and you have to match up, like, you know, it's a simple matching game or something like that, you know. It's that's definitely the vibe they're going for.
Some of the, like, it does sound like, obviously, it's going for that fairground sort of sound, but the, some of the beat was like, da, 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 da. I don't know, it sort of reminds me of, I can't put my finger on it, like, you know, similar music you might see in movies when they're, like, in Venice or something, with that, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you, yeah. It's, and it's kind of that, well, the accordion.
Yeah,
right?
The accordion, so. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what it does.
That
kind
of
yeah.
brings in there. Yeah, I guess with the bonus game, I'm trying to think of. There's not really a lot of other, like, Nintendo games that have the bonus game. I'm trying to think, like, one, like, the Super Mario Land 2 has the, if you ring the bell, up on top you go into a bonus game, and it's kind of like a similar idea with, like, yeah. upbeat. It doesn't have the same kind of music. It has actually really awesome music for the bonus game too, but just that same idea of something at the end. But is there anything recently that they do? Do they do bonus games? Like in Willy World, that doesn't have a bonus game, does it?
I thought it did have some sort of meaningless bonus game, but it must have been really meaningless because it's kind of escaping my memory. I mean, the thing about these bonus games is that where they were useful is that you could, first of all, you could unlock them. Like just on the menu map thing, the level select by sort of getting good scores on the individual levels and then just play them whenever you wanted. And the thing about that was you could get those item cards that you could select from the pause screen. And so for instance, you might, like for me, I remember going for 100%. You know, every now and again, I'd just go and grind out one of those to get, like, the plus 20 stars thing. Because, you know, if I finally found the correct, you know, the 20th red coin or whatever on a given level, I did not want to have to do that all over again because I got hit once and lost the perfect 30 stars. You know, so oh, you did want to have these items on hand, and the bonus games was a way to have them. You know, have quite a few of them. So definitely, you know, it had a sort of importance in that respect that you don't see with latter Yoshi games. Like, I think the R2/RZest games, I think it just got rid of them altogether.
Yeah, I don't remember the roulette wheel at the end, you know, with the collected five.
Well, they just flowers. Kind of, they had kind of just, you know, they might have the visual, but, you know, it, I think the closest thing they had in, like, Yoshi's New Island, for instance, was the motion-controlled vehicle bits that were kind of separate, but I think that was just kind of getting extra lives. Things like that, you know, wasn't
right,
that actually,
right.
Like, you could have stuff like, you know, like, just bring a fire melon in out of nowhere. You know, like you just sort of, you know, actually press pull. Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing for a Mario kind of platformer. You've also got an inventory of items. It's like you can have regular melons, fire melons, you know, the plus 10 stars, plus 20, and just press pause and activate it at any time, pretty much. I think maybe apart from the castle levels, I think they restricted it. But yeah, you know, like that was so it wasn't even just to sort of make sure your score was shored up. It was actually might the beaters to have an item there that could help you during the level, which I guess they kind of played with a bit with the whole patches idea in Woolly World. We're almost kind of like cheats, aren't they? That you can pay
right.
for.
Right. Yep. And like they give like discounts, right, or like special. You can get this for free now if you or something like that. I remember. Playing through that, but I guess I do remember in Yoshi's Island DS there is the bonus game, and I think it's there are a couple, but it's just like a match two, you know, like the, you know, pick a card and pick another card, and then if they match you get it, and don't pick the Kamek or whatever. So but yeah, so bonus games are fun. So well, we are down to our last cover. This is the fourth one. This was another of Greg's picks. It is the underground theme, And Greg, once again, I don't know if you want to say anything before, just go for it.
Yeah, maybe I'll come back in on it, you know, after, on the other side.
Sounds good, let's do it.
So, yeah, when we first started kicking around ideas for covers, this underground theme was one of the first things I thought of, because, in large part, there's a cover, again, going back to listening to OC Remix stuff from, like, 10 years ago, of this by McVath, called Crystalline Caverns, which is quite a different one from this version, but that kind of really kind of reinforced my love of the theme that kind of already existed. With that, it was piano driven kind of. It's a kind of thing. It's a weird reference, but it's a kind of thing that sounds like they'd be playing over an evidence gathering montage in an episode of CSI, but it's probably yeah. it's better than that makes it sound. in this case. There's a lot of things I really like about this version. Like, first of all, there's the kind of hand percussion kind of thing, element to it that's going on. Reminds me of the Fortress theme for Woolly World, actually, which has got this kind of chill guitar vibe going on. But it has a similar sort of percussion element. But then the orchestral elements here kind of bring a bit of gravitas to it that the original version doesn't really have. The original version is kind of is more subdued than you might think for a Yoshi game.
Right,
you know, it's kind of, I don't know whether moody is all the way true. You know, like I said, subdued's probably about right, but it's not as like cheeky as the Mario Brothers Underground theme, which is kind of the obvious reference point here. So. Yeah, it always kind of struck me as kind of an interesting song. And then, like I said, there's a couple of different ways you could go with it. Like the McVath cover I talked about kind of takes it squarely into somber territory, whereas here it's kind of more built up into something, a bit more grandiose with the orchestral feel. So,
like almost like motion picture soundtrack.
Yeah, you know? It shows you that, I don't know, if it kind of, for me, shows like, the extent to what was there in the first place, that you can actually kind of pull it apart into these quite different directions and they both work. I've got a lot of affection for that, and definitely spent a hell of a lot of time hearing that particular song, because it just feels like some of the levels that had the hardest to find secrets were like in these big underground labyrinths or whatever.
You know, the shy guy is on the stilts. are the ones playing the bass because they could reach up there, right? And they really lead this song. And it also has the big fat shy guy playing his harp, and he's a beautiful harpist. So I'm glad that, you know, they never get a chance to shine.
Yeah,
right?
I really
like that. Most of the time they're encased in eggs. That's what even the big shy guy gets encased in, a giant egg that causes the entire world to rock when you try and throw it.
Yes. Yeah, so cool. Well, that's all of the songs that we're going to play. I wanted to have Greg talk a little bit about just his, like, he was talking about Christmas and getting it. What was your mindset before Yoshi took over your life?
To be fair, Yoshi started to take over my life in 1991 when I wasn't even 7 years old. So, you know, there's barely a time before Yoshi, really. I don't remember much before Yoshi was spotted. You know, I was just playing Mario World. It's like, that's my guy. There he is. That's, yep. You know, me and
Greg,
you, bud.
Greg was weird, like, you were like, I wish I could get this Mario guy off my character.
So. I think it helped, you know, me identify with, you know, I mean it's pretty plausible now, but being a sort of big fat bloke with facial hair at the time was, like, you know, kind of not something I could really identify with, but the fact that he was Yoshi's friend made him relatable. You know. So, but yeah, I was happy when Yoshi's Island, you know, kind of came to fruition. They were pushing, you know, it was kind of the sequel, and now Yoshi was an even bigger part of it, and all that kind of stuff. Although, I wasn't sure about the graphic style, you know, actually, in magazines and stuff, because, of course, you got to remember, you know, this was, like, nascent dial-up internet periods, so, I mean, I was actually online, but, you know, you could barely get, you know, anything of interest through it, and what you certainly couldn't see is videos. And that's the thing. I mean, Yoshi's Island looked interesting in screenshots, but especially with all the sprite warping stuff that we talked about and all that, it's really in motion where you get the idea of what they're going for. And that was always the incredible thing about those days, especially because it was importing games before they'd even be out here. You know, I wouldn't see them, you know, in demo kiosks or around a friend's house or anything like that. It was, you know, I saw them in photographs. And then it was kind of, okay, what's it actually going to be like on the day? You know, and that's what kind of made it really kind of, it was exciting, but at the same time, like, you know, it was a lot of money to import games, and you was a little bit nervous too. But yeah, naturally, this was a big home run, as you might have guessed.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that.
I was just wondering, this is a little off topic, but how did you, like, get involved with importing, like, Japanese games? Like, how did you become aware of the downsides, like, as, like, a seven-year-old?
Yeah, well, exactly. It was my older brother. He's 8 years older than me. He was twice as old, so he knew about these things, you know, and I was young enough just to get excited about what he was talking about. You know, I was just like, trust me, it's way better than what we've had before, and it's way better than what anybody else has got right now. You're going to lose. You're going to go nuts for it, basically. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, that got ridiculously excited. And then, you know, as years went on and I got older and I was reading the magazines kind of independently and all that, then, yeah. You know, and going on the internet as well, you know, that was, you know, big thing for news and all that kind of stuff. Then it, I took on a life of its own. But yeah, that's my older brother's to blame for both that and the NFL, if anyone's wondering.
Well, thank you for coming on, both you, Nick, and Greg. We're kind of like surrounding the world right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, but two of us drive on the left side, but two of us use the term soccer. So I'm going to let everyone figure those out because, you know. That's my trivia for the day. But yeah, it was really fun getting together and talking with you guys about this game. It was really fun making the songs too, because it's fun to make songs when they're amazing. It's fun to cover songs when they're amazing, right? So I had a lot of fun doing that. So, and I think a lot of people are gonna have fun listening to Greg talk about Yoshi's Island, because that's just, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's the rule, right, as you said.
Exactly. You got to be done. I'm sure I've spoken about it a bit over the years, but probably bits and pieces because it hasn't been that current at any point. We've never done a retroactive on it. We did Yoshi's Story once upon a time. I think it's an episode called Fruitosaurus Rex, if anyone wants to but
and you guys were really down on it, I remember.
It was. I mean, you know, I don't hate it like some people do, but I don't particularly like it. I think it's, you know, a fair drop off from Yoshi's Island in a number of respects, musically, as I've kind of already said, being one of them. But I do think that this, it was a great kind of, finale for the Super Nintendo, really. You know, I mean, I didn't have too many Super Nintendo games after this, even though it would be 8 months later before I got an N64. But, you know, there is no better kind of way to finish off the Super Nintendo's life than the end credits for this game. It has probably the most perfect final few notes of a song ever, as the babies are held aloft triumphantly, reunited with their parents, and the level clear fanfare from the original Super Mario Brothers plays. It's it's so perfect. It's indescribably perfect. They've never got anything that right ever again, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, first of all, spoilers.
Who would have thought, eh? Who would have thought? I was so sure Baby Bowser was just going to, like, sit on them until they turned into jelly.
Yeah. like the freaky ending on Majora's Mask, like when the world just is dead.
It's destroyed.
Yeah. That would be good too. Well, Nick, did you want to say anything?
No, not really. Just thanks for Greg for coming on, and for you, Perry, for organizing the covers and doing all the music stuff as you do. That's about it, I think.
All right. Well, I do want to tell people that I did start a new podcast on NWR called Talk Nintendo Podcast with my buddy Casey, and it's kind of a mixed. It's funny because we both listen to all the podcasts on NWR, and it kind of ends up being a combination of all of them. It's like Radio Free Nintendo, Radio Trivia, and like the Famicast, and then like Connectivity put together. So that's how I would describe it. So if you want to check that out, that's on the site, and we're on iTunes as well. So also, one more little plug here. The artist that drew this episode's art, his name is Matt Keller. He's an amazing, brilliant artist, cartoonist, and if anyone out there would like to hire him for any projects or anything, just get in hold of me. My Twitter handle is @pburkham. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Nick.
Oh, well, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure getting to talk about Yoshi, but moreover, getting to hear some cool new versions of songs I've got a lot of affection for. But very pleased to be involved.
Well, thank you. And we will see everyone next time on Themesters 5.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.